On the cover, we see the inside of Protean City Mall Hospital and a zoomed-in image of one of its most popular hangouts, the Float, where the most popular thing on the menu is a Corn Fanta Float. Outside the ice cream shop, we see four of our heroes enjoying their ice cream and people watching.
Introducing Protean City's newest generation. These kids prove that with a little attitude, a lot of courage, and even more heart, you're never too young to be a hero. This issue featuring...
Everything will be okay. I'm Promise.
I am Shield Mouse. Never judge a hero by their size.
I'm Ray, and I'm Artie. And two brains are better than one.
I'm Phoenix, and I'll show the world that good can match me.
So get ready for action, because these kids are outstanding.
This is Outstanding, issue number 7, Weekend Off.
Our comic opens on the backyard of Pequoy, where all of the residents have seemingly just completed a tedious cleanup of the backyard. A little boy with telekinesis helps a much larger copper girl lift the final pipes of the monkey bars back into place. And a little girl with wild hair stretches her fingers out into the grass, causing new growth to appear on the singed tree limbs above her. Everyone working together made pretty quick work of the job. But it was a grueling task, especially so early in the morning. So, Ray, after the events of last evening, it's been a rough morning for you. and your friend Max. Both of you had a long night and a rough morning. Where are you focusing your cleanup efforts? Where can you be helpful?
I think that Ray is primarily focusing on the kitchen because he and Artie did the most damage in the kitchen. So he feels the most responsible for that.
Yeah, there's still no fridge. It's just not there.
Yeah.
He's
probably got his welding kit out and he's just like welding pipes back together and stuff. Just doing whatever he can. He's obviously not he's not a plumber or a carpenter or any of that stuff, but he knows how to weld things. So he's just like, I think this gets welded this way. And he's just doing his best.
It looks wacky under there, but it functions. You know, the sink works, but nobody knows how. It just defies gravity.
I mean, as long as it works.
And as long as it works. And what is Artie up to?
Artie is probably just sitting off to the sidelines. He took a lot of damage in the fight with the lightning imps. So he is probably sitting off to the sidelines. There's probably still like sparks coming out of his chest plate and stuff.
I love the image of just Artie sitting in the backyard watching everyone cleaning up and like a butterfly lands on him and he's like sparking and he's just sort of like patiently watching, like Iron Giant style, peaceful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
What? He's so cute. Awesome. Checking in with Maximus. You were responsible also for a lot of destruction in the kitchen. During the cleanup efforts, where are you working?
He probably would find a place where his strength would be most useful, like flipping those sections of concrete that Mar flipped back over to being right way up. And that's probably where he's most useful. So he's probably out in the yard at the moment.
Awesome. Are you capable of flipping back over concrete?
The strength isn't his trouble. It's always like where to grab onto stuff. So it's a matter of finding a place where he can actually like
little tiny hands.
Yeah. So it's a matter of like getting up underneath it and finding the right lever spot to like fling it over. It's actually probably a very dangerous way he does it. Cause it's not controlled. He just like gets underneath it and shoves with all of his might. And it's like a caber toss where it just like flips up and then slams back down with a huge noise and probably is marginally better, but not really better.
So what you've done is, so there was a very nice cement basketball court and then it got flipped upside down and like cracked. And then you flipped it back right side up. So now it's just cracked to shit and it's not level in any capacity, but there's sort of lines on it indicating that it's right side up now.
Yeah, exactly. At least you can see the marks, but there's way more damage.
Yeah, but nobody could play on that.
Oh, no.
But you helped. It looks great. Promise. You were not involved in the devastation of last night.
I was not.
You had a very nice night.
It was wonderful.
You got milkshakes.
Yeah.
You reunited some long-lost siblings.
That part's classified.
Right. We won't talk about it.
Yeah.
Because oaths were taken.
Mm-hmm.
Promises were made. Just curious, where did you sleep last night? Where's your mattress tonight?
I don't think I moved my mattress after getting back because it was very late. I think I went back to the bookshelf I had been hiding on and fell asleep on and went back to sleep there.
So to remind our readers, Promise likes to drag her mattress to wherever they're feeling the most connected or welcome at the time and leave it there. It's like a mark of friendship. Really cute. So when you woke up this morning from your wonderful evening of joy and reuniting past siblings, you look out the window and see destruction has struck in the backyard. And you're asked to help clean it up.
I fail to see how this is my responsibility.
And Sage just like rolls her eyes and she's like, everybody has to help, Promise. Like, you didn't do it and I get that, but like, I can't do this by myself. They, like, we're a team. And she's so tired. She's, come on, please. She can't have her coffee because a bunch of kids wrecked the kitchen. So this is the most that she has. Please, can you just come because everybody else is helping?
I will come outside and do what I can do.
Thank you. And she like just kind of like face palms and is just like, what has my life become? And she just walks away in existential crisis. Yeah. Like, ah. So when you get outside, you see various things. The trees are being fixed. The ground is being flipped back right side up. The monkey bars are being put together again. And the kitchen is being rewired. Where would you help?
Help is a strong word. I said what I can do. I can do a lot of things that aren't necessarily helping.
So what do you do?
I think I go over to like a bush that was hurt and I help shape it back into form. And then I'm going to turn into a squirrel and crawl inside the bush and take a nap and wait for this to blow over.
yes, helping.
You're such a helping helper, Promise. I would expect nothing less from our resident Faye. Like, what else could we hope for? Delightful. So that's where you're sleeping. So then we're going to cut back to a panel of the monkey bars being put back together, where the little telekinetic boy is like lifting the big pipe and the strong copper girl is kind of pushing the rest of the body toward it. Mm-hmm. And we see a young kid starting to weld the giant pieces back together with some sort of magic fire situation. Can you tell us a little bit about Cesaro and his powers?
Yeah. Cesaro has a combination of like fire and magic in the form of like esoteric fire control. So like he can manipulate fire and create fire and manipulate the concept of fire. To make it feel to change the color, to make it feel physical, to make it not hot.
Very cool. So in this case, it is probably hot since you're welding something. But can you tell us about what we see on the comic page of you helping to put this monkey bars back together? By the way, it's a jungle gym in the shape of a monkey because I'm a jerk. That's nice. The monkey bars.
Yeah. It's like panel of Cesaro being lit up by my own fire. I made a little water magic that does nothing, but it's because it made a fire. So he has this like big, like red glowing welding mask as he is with a finger welding away at the jungle gym. There's so much light.
So it's sort of like a almost professional. He's like, wait, safety first. Let me make this welder mask out of flames to protect myself from the flames.
Yeah, it's a colder flame.
It's perfect. Fantastic. Once we see the last bar being sort of secured, we get side-by-side panels, like four panels on the page, of all four kids stepping back to admire their handiwork, except for Promise. Promise is admiring the shrub that she put back together so that she could then take a nap in. But everybody else really did quite a good job. Max jumped around on the pieces of concrete for a while until they were relatively level. The comic page shows like a bunch of little panels of a mouse jumping up and down on like hard pieces of concrete, trying to like mash them back in. So they're really broken up, but they're kind of level.
It's kind of a gravel. Play something. It's kind of a gravel basketball court now.
Yeah.
That's totally
stone. That's fine.
Totally not dangerous.
And Ray kind of looks around the kitchen, and it like looks like a kitchen. And when the doors are closed, no one would know that the wiring was just disgusting in there. It's functional. The lights turn on. Sage can make coffee. I mean, what else? What else could we possibly need? And Cesaro, you have really made a beautiful monkey bar set. Your weld is like spot on.
I'm an artiste.
Yeah, you know exactly what you're doing, and you're extra, so probably it looks better than it did before it started.
Of course.
Yes. It's like got, you know, more of a pose now. It's like posed like a dancer or something. It's you know.
It's holding torches and with like lit fire, but it's cold fire, so it's fine.
So you can play in the fire and it's safe for children.
And there's no, don't play in fire, kids.
Yeah. Not for humans, only for Protean City heroes.
Yeah.
Awesome. We deserve a celebration for this, y'all. Like, it's been a morning. So your resident bird mom appears at the sliding glass door of the kitchen that looks out onto the backyard. And this morning she had to run over to Alina's and drop off a bag full of imps so that they were contained. So she gets back and you see her, you know, walk out into the backyard once you guys are mostly done. And she's like super impressed with everybody. She's still like bad at kids. She's just getting better at it. But she like didn't expect you guys to put so much care and attention to detail into fixing things. She's pretty impressed. And she's going to look around for a second and like put her hands in her pockets and go, okay, what do I do to show kids that I'm like happy? Like in her head, like on the panel, it's like a dot, dot, dot bubble. And she's like, what do you do? Reward children.
What a mood.
What do children
that's a straight up mood.
Coffee.
And then she just like blurts out, she goes, who wants to go to the mall?
Me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hopefully eventually everybody says that the mall sounds great.
I shoot fire into the air like the pop gun stuff. Bang bang.
Perfect. Fantastic. We're gonna turn the page and show a big two-page spread of the outside of the Protean City Mall Hospital. Now, as everyone knows, I'm sure, the upstairs is devoted to the hospital that basically keeps Protean City running and people, like, alive. It's, like, a really important part of Protean City because people get hurt a lot. Mrs. Kahananui, Dr. Kahananui is working just all the time, never home. But the bottom floor is devoted to the coolest, the hippest, the only mall in Protean City. So we see our heroes standing outside the mall. I want to hear from each of you one store in the mall, store, shop, or otherwise, that you are very excited to visit. And Ray, if your answer is not Radio Shack, I'm going to be super surprised.
Well, it's something along those lines. So Ray, whenever he goes to the mall, he always goes to the same store. And it's not because he particularly enjoys the store. It's because he enjoys getting into spirited debates with the owner of the store, who is like, it's basically a tech store. But Ray is convinced that all of the stuff that he is touting is a lie. So he is constantly, whenever they're at the mall, he is going over to this store. It is, I think that what originally caught Ray's attention is because the owner's name is also Raymond, and it was supposed to be like a knockoff Radio Shack, but radio is spelled R-A-Y. D-O Shack.
Yes, perfect.
You keep dodging lawyers for that name.
he couldn't afford the lawyers to get the name, so he just decided, well, my name is Raymond, so I'm going to call it Ray Dio Shack. Ray.
Wow, you're that kid. And he sees you coming too, this old guy, and he's like, tech was not his first language, but he's adapted because he's like, you know, has to make a living. And in walks this young teenager with oftentimes a giant robot coming to school him on the thing he makes his living doing. Sometimes he hides in the back and just pretends he's not there because it's not like customers are in there. So, all right, Max, where are you headed?
Max is probably actually tries to stick with, like, if there's a group of kids from Pequoy, he probably stays with the group because he likes to be amongst them because they make him feel comfortable because they don't look at him weird. But the place he likes to go is the arcade. But he's technically not allowed there anymore because he's broken several machines while getting excited.
Oh my God. Like what? Like he just breaks the joystick off?
Yeah, he just snapped
the
joystick straight off.
Too much?
Or like the one time he actually won something, he jumped so hard that he shoved it down into the floor and broke it.
Oh.
Just in celebration.
A little excited Max Mouse.
Yeah.
He threw a ski ball through the hole.
Yeah.
and destroyed it.
They stopped stocking the boxing, like punch the thing as hard as you can game because.
Exactly, yeah.
We can't. Because of the mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just a one-time thing. They gave him several chances and he screwed it up every time.
He just has a lot of enthusiasm, our boy. Promise, where are you headed?
That's a difficult question. I'm not sure Promise has been to the mall before. And this is a lot to take in.
You're right. Lots of lights, lots of sounds. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I feel like she would get drawn to something like the kiddo rides that you can rent for like $2 in the middle, and then you can like scoot around the mall on like a on a giraffe or whatever.
Oh.
Or like one of the things you put quarters in and it just kind of like rocks back and forth to music for 30 seconds.
You know what she's enamored by is one of those things you put the coin in and it just goes around in the spiral and then down into the bottom. And she
you just watch it spin.
You just watch it spin around and she thinks it's the coolest thing in the world.
We find Promise there like 2 hours later and she's just like, no, it keeps going.
She keeps running to the fountain to grab more coins out of the fountain.
So pure. Cesaro, where are you headed?
You know how I think it's true that Spencer Gifts has the worst like clothing there?
Yes.
Now, what if you had a store that was just all that? just awful, awful clothing?
Like, pun-related clothing.
Yeah,
clothing that makes your mom go, nope.
Yeah, yeah, that meme clothing, misprint shirts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, it's an entire store of that. And I think it's called tee-up shirt. And then it's a golf pun and t-shirt. And no one knows why it's a golf pun.
That's so light compared to the contents of the store, but yes, I'm like on it. Yeah, so the tea pun store, tee up, I'm about it. So you gotta go like get some extra t-shirts.
Yeah, some truly trash t-shirts.
The best kind of t-shirt. All right, so we walk into the mall and y'all have your places that you'd like to head eventually. And Sage is just overcome. She's brought you all here. You took a walk together, which is like a lot. She had to do like, she made you do the hand-holding chain that's for like kindergartners, but she just doesn't understand like how to keep people in line otherwise. So she's like, just do it. I can't. So everybody like ironically does it to mock her. But you get there in one piece and it's fine. And you walk into the mall and she's like, okay, you have 3 hours. And when you're done, just meet me back at the ice cream shop in 3 hours. I will be getting coffee. Bye. And she just sort of like, she just like walks away. Where's everybody going first?
Max is definitely going with wherever Ray is going because they're quite close. And he's since he can't go to his favorite place, I think he's just going to hang with Ray.
Yeah, I think that Ray sees that Max is kind of feeling down about not being able to go to the arcade, and instead of going to Ray Dio Shack, Ray is like, "Hey, Max, Why don't you hop inside of Artie and we go to the arcade?
And you see Max's eyes get like big, and he like, because he knows both that this is exactly what he wants to do, but then also like kind of breaking the rules, and that's not exactly his thing. So this feels really rebellious for him. And eventually you get this, like, he can't even speak. You just get a little nod out of him, and he scampers over to Artie and like climbs inside.
Yeah. So Artie's chest kind of opens up, and there's a cockpit seat where normally Ray would sit inside of Artie when we're in fights, but the seat kind of like boosts up so that you can reach the controls.
That's so cute.
God, it takes everything in me not to make little squeak noises because I can't help myself. But so cute. And you're gonna head to the arcade.
You can see Artie walking in a very like clumsy, like one limb at a time movement, because Max is not good at driving him.
Doesn't he have like an autopilot?
Yeah,
like, he can walk when someone's not in him.
Artie can walk himself, but I think that it's definitely like, I'm sure as soon as Max got inside, like the autopilot turned off and Max was just like,
yeah, I can do this. He has complete confidence in himself to handle it, despite the fact that he can't.
These limbs are so much bigger than your whole body. And you're going to head to the arcade. Promise, where are you going?
I think Promise hears Ray talk about the arcade and mistakes that as Arcadia, which is like the seat of the High Fae in the Fae Realms, and is very interested in where this is going. She's like, there's a portal here? I must see this.
Boy. Promise is just like every wrong assumption just rolled up in a lovely little sugar roll.
I know, it's the best. I love it.
And Cesaro, are you going to also go to the arcade, or are you venturing out on your own?
I go to arcade with notes because I couldn't think of something else to do. You did manage to like scroll away to buy a shirt.
And what does the shirt say? What's the snotty phrase saying on it?
It's not snotty phrase. Specifically, it's the entire B movie script. Yeah, and it's not not just like in tiny letters like on the chest. It is along the entire like on the sleeves and like down the shirts. You can still read it. You know those shirts that build a character or something out of words.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like that.
But the B movie.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Every time there's the word B, does the font change?
Yes.
Just trash at this store. Like the mall manager's like, why? Why is this still here? Who is paying for these things? I don't
Apparently,
get it.
Cesaro keeps them open.
Me. Is doing it single-handedly. So you're headed over to the arcade. And as you walk inside, like any good arcade, it's like much darker inside than it was in the rest of the mall. And it's like blinking lights and lots of neon and very loud clashing soundtracks of very loud video games and arcade puzzles. There's some like old school things like skee ball and like an air hockey table and like a bop-em.
Whack-a-mole.
Like where the woodchucks pop out of. Yeah. Whack-a-mole, yeah. It has a name.
Wallet woodchuck.
You know, where you hit the animals in the head with the thing. It's got some of those. And then it's got like some really cool, like very futuristic things. Like one where you sit in the middle of a gyroscope and it like spins you around in like crazy, what is it called? Like VR. You put on goggles and you sit in it and it like waves you around, and then it's got like a Jurassic Park Jeep that like rumbles and stuff, but there's actually like, you think it's going to be just a simulator, but then like at certain points like a dinosaur drops out of the ceiling and scares the shit out of everybody, and it's delightful. It's got any kind of like video game-esque type activity that you could hope for. Oh, and it's run by a family. It's like a mom, a dad, and their teenage daughter, and this is their livelihood. They've had it forever. You sort of know the daughter, Trixie, from school, but she works here on the weekends with parents. But any kind of video game at your disposal. Also the quarter vending machines with gumballs and like plastic spiders, also a good option. Where are you all headed?
I think like maybe Cesaro feels a tap on his shoulder and turns around, and there's Artie being inexpertly piloted by Max, and Max just points at a fighting game, like a Primal Rage or something that's old and off-brand a little bit, and is like, "You want to go?
Sure, yeah.
I'm gonna wallop you.
I'll beat you in fighting game."
And you walk up to the thing, and you just see Artie like looking at his hands and like flexing his fingers because Max is like, "How am I gonna?"
I think eventually he just gives up, and Artie puts the palms down on the table, and then you see Max scamper down and just grab the joystick, and he's got like a foot over to hit the button because that's the only way he can do it. He will not be able. He's too competitive to like let it slide and maybe play with a handicap.
There is absolutely a sign behind the desk that has Max's picture on it, like not allowed.
Absolutely no mice with a ever.
Yeah, with a big, no mice. Big no symbol. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I like try to move so I'm blocking Max from most of you. I shouldn't do this, but I think I shoot the poster of Max with fire.
Oh no.
It just burns away.
Oh no.
So it's just like a temporary, like, I'm about to burn this place to the ground, but not really because I'm not a villain.
Yeah, just burn the poster, not the place.
Gotcha.
Fire control.
So the Campanato family definitely realizes that something has caught on fire, and you've drawn attention to the two of you over playing this game. So you're setting up to play, and now this thing is on fire. They're coming right over to you where Max is not hiding in Artie. I'm going to say the dad comes over, and he's like walking pretty quickly towards you to see what's happened.
I put Max in my pocket. If that's okay, Max.
I think you're just because he wasn't expecting it, you managed to do it. You can scoop him up and put him in before he realizes what was going on. And then immediately you feel like kind of getting punched in the gut as he tries to like punch, like push himself out, but hasn't figured it out quite yet exactly what's going on. So it's just like, right. Like,
yep. I'm just and grinning and bearing it.
Mr. Campanato is going to walk up to you and be like, are you responsible for that? And he's pointing at the poster.
No, it's pertaining to combustion. It's a real problem in our society right now.
It's funny, it's never happened before. So I just wanted to like check in and see if you knew anything about it.
I'm just real lucky, I guess nothing's caught fire spontaneously before. I don't know, it happened a lot around me, so.
Awesome. Do things spontaneously repair themselves around you sometimes also? Because that costs money.
Sometimes. Yeah. I mean, okay. We'll see what happens right now.
So I'm gonna go back to the desk, and I'm gonna hope that a miracle happens and that it spontaneously repairs itself. But if it doesn't, I'm gonna have to ask you to leave. And he is trying to switch your labels. He's trying to move up your danger and down your superior.
I mean, not wrong. So.
So you're gonna accept it?
Yeah, sure.
So he's going to walk back to the desk, having rolled his eyes vigorously, and like he's watching you like a hawk now. Now it's not super safe for Max to be standing next to you. We're going to cut to Promise. Promise, what have you found to do?
Okay, so Promise has entered the arcade, which is very clearly not Arcadia. It is very dark and overwhelming. There's lots of lights and sounds. So she's kind of whirled around a lot, trying to figure out what's going on. And then she saw that whack-a-mole thing you said was there, mm-hmm. and has thrown herself in between the machine and the person who has the animal mallet abuse. And is like, "Cease your brutality. I will not stand for this."
And the kid that was playing it is like 6 years old, and he just didn't, like, doesn't know what to do with you right now, because mm-hmm. you probably still have some animal-like feature about you, or like aren't totally human. What do you have going on right now that would make him go, huh?
I think she has squirrel ears poking out from her hair.
Yes, perfect. So you have squirrel ears, and you're defending the moles. And mm-hmm. he's just standing there with the hammer, and he's just like, excuse me, I was just gonna play the game. I paid 50 cents for it.
I will not allow you to bash these poor defenseless creatures with that mallet.
And behind you, we see a panel of them just like popping up and going, "You can't get me. You can't get me." they're like mocking this poor child who now can't touch them. And he's just going to like drop the mallet where it hangs from the rubber cord, which attaches it to its base, and just sort of look at you and say, "What are you?"
"I'm Promise, and I'm a hero."
"Oh, okay. I like your ears."
"Oh, thank you. I like them too."
"Okay. You want to play a game?"
"What kind of game?"
Well, I love games. I was playing this game, but you seem to not like this game."
"This isn't a game. This is harming poor, defenseless creatures."
"Hey. You want to throw tokens in this thing and see if we can get a baseball card?"
"Yes."
"Okay." And he, like, reaches out his hand to, like, hold your hand.
Yeah.
And leads you over to one of those big glass cases that's, like, got a shovel that continuously, like, pushes tokens forward. And you drop tokens in, and it's a fruitless effort to ever get anything real out of it. But it's shiny and
it's
colorful.
It's very shiny, yes.
And you guys are going to work on that for a minute. Ray, where did you go?"
So you mentioned something about, like, a VR experience.
Oh, God. Yes, I did.
Ray has gone over to it, but he's not actually gotten inside of it. He's opened up the panel on the side and is looking at the innards of it. He's got one of those like quick screwdrivers that like you can change the head of it. He's got like a little utility belt that he just hooks the new magnetic head into the screwdriver, and he's opened up the side panel and is just kind of looking inside. He's not really touching anything. He's just kind of admiring the work and looking at it.
And you feel a tap on your shoulder, and you turn around, and Trixie is standing there watching you. And, you know, she's more intrigued than anything else. She sort of hasn't seen this quite happen before. She's like, "What are you doing?"
"Sorry. I was just curious. I'm a bit of a tech enthusiast myself, and I just wanted to take a look at what you all had going on here. I really like how you have spliced in the VR experience with your is this like the beginnings of an artificial intelligence system? Like, have you programmed this to actually react to the user's actions?"
And on the panel, we see that whole text bubble, and then also we see just, like, thought bubbles with lots of numbers and math and engineering and stuff in it, and then a bubble above Trixie's head is, like, a giant question mark. And she just sort of looks at you, and she's like, "Yeah, we rent this by, like, the month. I don't know.
"Sure, yeah, that's totally valid. Sorry, I get a little bit excited sometimes. I forget that not everybody makes their own tech things."
"You make your own tech things?"
Yeah.
And I point over to the fighting game where Cesaro and Max are, and I'm pointing at Artie, and I say, "Yeah, that's my robot, Artie."
"Oh," and she gets like real wide eyes, and she's like, "Oh, you're for real? It's not."
"Yeah."
"All right."
I extend my spindly little hand. I say, "Ray Ramirez. I'm a tech engineer, robotics expert, artificial intelligence programmer."
"Oh yeah. I see you sometimes in the computer lab. Cool. I'm Trixie. Nice to meet you."
"Yeah, nice to meet you too."
"Cool. Can you put that back before my dad notices? Because I just don't want to get in trouble."
Sure.
He's gonna put it back, but he's gonna make one little tweak, because he did find one issue with the goings on inside of it, obviously, because he's Ray. So he's going to attempt to make one little tweak to make it run just a little bit better.
I think you can do that. It's like mass produced electronica. I'm sure you can fix it and make it better.
But in 50 issues, it's going to be the origin for some super villain AI that you accidentally created.
Yeah, for sure. You made a time machine by accident.
Oops.
This is how Ultron started.
This is, yes, you've caused the end of the world. Congratulations. And she's just going to, like, kind of look at you and then kind of look over at Artie again. And she's genuinely impressed. She has seen you around school and definitely has not talked to you because she is not in that crowd. But she's making a mental note. Like, this is kind of cool, actually. In, like, a not cool kind of way. But storing this for later when I fail my science exam. All right, cool. Well, I'll see you around then.
All right, yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Bye.
Great. And she sort of walks back to the desk where her dad is, like, eyeing the Rock'em Sock'em Robots beat-em-up game that was spontaneously set fire to. Has it spontaneously fixed itself?
I mean, it's not on fire.
It's just sort of singed.
He said, he was like, this costs money, but it's a poster, right? So, like, 10 cents.
But it was on the side of an arcade cabinet, which costs money to rent.
Plus, this is like his livelihood. But, you know, I'm sure that Cesaro doesn't think about these things. Cesaro's like flair, finesse, show-stopping. Also, like, consequences? Question mark?
Yeah. Before we leave, like, it isn't now, but before we leave, I'm going to give him, like, you know, a dollar for the poster. That for, you know, way more than that poster cost.
Cute. I think we're going to have a couple of panels of everybody playing their respective games. Promise is playing with this little boy who is just, like, obsessed with everything that Promise is doing. Her ears, playing with the coins, and, like, it's just really cute. I feel like we're going to have a roll-off to find out who wins between Max and Cesaro. So, like, highest data on a 2d6 wins.
Okay. Four.
Six.
Very good. Very good. So, Cesaro, can you tell us about your victory over Max?
I think we both didn't do well. It wasn't a high-level gameplay.
Yeah, neither of us are
somebody
good at
just
it.
Lost less bad.
Yeah.
Great.
I feel like I didn't win. I think Max lost. Like, you know, one of those games that have like you can fall out of the stage. I think Max.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think
totally.
Max fell out of the stage on his own.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I didn't win. He just lost.
Got it. So it was an embarrassing show of strength.
Yeah.
Coordination from both of you. And Ray, you've put the machine back together. Did you go on the ride, or did you just take it apart and put it back together, and that was good enough?
No, after he put it back together, he would have gone inside the little simulator thing and seen how it functioned, when you're not looking at it from the insides. So.
And how was it? Fun?
Oh yeah, it was great, especially after he fixed it.
You guys are putzing around in the arcade for. You know, a couple hours, maybe 2 hours. And
I think after a while of shoveling tokens into the machine, Promise has understood this concept. This is a game where you're not allowed to win.
Yes.
Which she's familiar with.
Yes.
The only way to win is to change the rules. So I want to enchant a token with some of my fairy dust so that when it goes into the machine, it multiplies exponentially and pushes all the actual coins out.
You are going to make this little kid's fucking day. Can I have you roll to unleash your powers, please?
I would love to unleash my powers. I rolled a 12 and I have a +2 to freak. That is a 14.
Please, please narrate this beautiful scene of joy that you are creating for this little dude.
So I think he goes to put a coin in. I'm like, wait, I have an idea. And I take the coin and I like palm it between my hands. And when I produce it again, it's all like sparkly and magic. I'm like, I learned this from a leprechaun. And I put it in the slot and it just goes in and lands down and like nothing happens. It's like, there's a beat and then it springs and like four coins pop out of that. And then those spring and those multiply. And suddenly it's the machine's just shoving all the real coins are being pushed by the temporary coins, which are going to vanish by the time I leave this arcade.
The little kid is like out. Got both hands on the glass and he's like pressing his face up against the glass. He's like, oh my God. And he's just amazed. And now like coins are spilling out onto the floor. Like mm-hmm. It's just a constant ding, 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 like in the tray. And now this poor dad who's been watching the beat 'em up game is like, what now? What? And he looks over and there's like just tokens everywhere, and this little kid is just like plastered to the side of the machine in awe, and you're just like standing there watching, and he's just like, no, and he runs over like a casino master, and he's just like, what is happening? And he starts picking up the coins, and the kid's like, no, those are mine. But he's trying to clean up the coins because something clearly has malfunctioned.
Excuse me, we have won these coins. I am very good at games.
No, I mean, yeah, you can have some of them, but like this is like the whole game, and it's clearly broken.
And so you are taking the coins that we have rightfully won?
And he feels real bad because he's like, you're calling him on that. And the little kid is like tearing up because he's had now two of his games possibly ruined. And he's like, okay, you can have what's on the floor, but I'm going to turn off the game now. So no more after that. Like everything that's already dropped out is you won.
That sounds a fair compromise. And Promise will offer her hand to shake.
He does not know what to do with that. He's like, okay. And he just sort of turns around and like glances again back at the game where the two boys are no longer there, or the boy and the robot are no longer there. And he also notices that something has been misplaced on the gyroscope game. Like the front panel has been, it's always sort of been crooked since they rented it, and now it's not crooked anymore. And he's like, I swear to God. This poor man. So he goes back up to the desk and he gets one of the security camera footage and gets all of your pictures and starts printing them on like a digital printer to hang next to Max's picture. And you all decide that you're going to make your way to the ice cream shop because then you have time to like get something and sit down and hang out before it's time to leave. Because who knows what Sage will have time for once you get there. So you head back down the hallway to the Float, which is the very good ice cream shop in the mall. And everybody knows that it's the best place to get ice cream, especially Corn Fanta Float. I mean, who wouldn't want corn ice cream?
Oh, God. Not as a float.
No, it sounds freaking terrible.
It's Corn Fanta and butter ice cream.
God, why?
Why do you do this to me?
Why did I do this? I hate me.
This is what I'm eating.
You didn't make Corn Fanta.
You walk inside, and the place is relatively empty for a Sunday early afternoon. Everybody's out like eating real food and not getting ice cream. And I know, fools. And you go inside and you see, like, above the counter, there's the list of all the different ice cream flavors, and you see the cabinets in front of the counter with, like, the freezers with the ice cream in it. Mm-hmm. And behind the counter is an NB teenager with, like, bright green, like, neon green buzz cut. And they're wearing the uniform of the Float, which is not flattering or good or like not what anyone wants to be wearing. It's like a navy t-shirt with a name tag and like khaki pants and sneakers. And it's not the khaki pants that are cute in any capacity. They're just like bad in every angle. And you can go up to the counter whenever you're ready, and that person's going to be there waiting for you, not enthusiastically.
As we are sort of trying to figure out what we're going to have, Max, who is at this point, I guess, relinquished control of Artie back to Ray, and maybe is perched on his shoulder, gives Ray a little pat on the side of his head and is like, see, I know last night was rough, but I mean, we got rewarded with a trip to the mall and ice cream, and we got to go to the arcade. This was great.
Yeah, I honestly not what I was expecting after destroying the kitchen in the backyard, but
hey, you did an excellent job, and so did I, and we all did a great job. And all of the imps got contained, and, I mean, the decoy only got mostly destroyed. I mean, it's all good.
You did. You did a fantabulous job destroying that kitchen. It's way more destroyed than when Ellis and I made muffins.
Why is it a contest to destroy Sage's kitchen? Why?
Every time you destroy his kitchen, you get to remodel it. It's fine.
Yeah. Great.
Wasn't that not what we were complimenting Ray on? How destructive he is.
That's right, Promise. We were.
or I was trying to trigger a comfort or support on that one. Is there a chance like we could?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm not good at it, but I'm going to try.
Right. You're right. You are comforting and supporting. Okay. That's right. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Promise, does your little add-on maybe allow us to maybe bring that my 6 up to a 7?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
I'll add plus 1.
Okay.
All right. That was your one team then. Yeah. So you're at 0 team. So on a hit, they hear you. They mark potential, clear condition, or ship labels if they open up to you.
Ray's not really the opening up type, but he's going to say, it was real touch and go there for a little bit. I'm really glad that I had you with me, though, Max, because, man, you really knocked it out of the park. And I don't think we could have done it without you.
So, are you clearing a condition?
Yeah, he's gonna clear a condition.
Well, we definitely couldn't have done it without you either. It was a team effort.
Awesome. We get a wonderful panel of you guys all of a sudden being hit by very aggressive fluorescent light walking into the ice cream shop area. And everybody's lit in, like, not a flattering way, except for Promise for some reason, who just looks even more awesome in fluorescent lighting, which is, like, not a thing that any human could accomplish.
Good thing I'm not human, then.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a true power.
That is your real superpower, looking good under fluorescent lights. So is anybody getting ice cream? Corn Fanta?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Not yeah. Corn Fanta, but ice cream, yes.
Corn Fanta with butter ice cream, yeah.
Yeah, it's perfect with butter ice cream. So you walk up to the counter, and the person behind the counter with the green hair says, very unenthusiastically, "Hi, I'm Bam." Points at the name tag. "Welcome to the float, home of the legendary Corn Fanta float. How can I help you?"
Doesn't get any easier the more you say it.
Nope. And they have to say it for each person that comes up. They're taking this as you're a group, so you're all walking up together. They're not going to say it more than once because they don't want to.
Smart.
I'm gonna let the rest of you guys go first. I'm not really sure what I want yet.
Corn Fanta float.
Corn Fanta float also.
Yep. And they push like 2 on their very old cash register. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Promise is going to like float up a bit so she can get a good angle at seeing all the various tubs of ice cream and go through all of them. And I want that one. That one, the pink and purple and blue one with all the berries. I want that one.
Unicorn explosion.
Sure.
Yeah. That's a popular one. All right. One of those. Anybody else?
You know what? I think they talked me into it. I'm going to get the Corn Fanta float as well. But instead of the butter ice cream, can I get the horchata ice cream instead?
Choices.
Bomb. Gross.
Oh.
Bam behind the counter is like holding back a gag. All right. Presses, you know, adds that to the tally. And then they're going to look up at Artie and like try to like,
"Oh,
do you want ice?"
"No, nothing.
Do you eat ice
nothing
cream?
For me. Thank you very much. Thank you very much."
They weren't sure whether to ask or not and then were shocked at the response. "Okay. Cool. That's 1326 and I'll be right back with your ice cream." And they go sort of in the back into the kitchen to like get the soda for the float and leave you guys to like figure out the money situation and awkwardness in private.
Who has money?
I have money. I didn't want to pay.
I think Promise is jingling a handful of arcade tokens that she kept as her part of the winnings from the machine.
Ray reaches into his pocket and pulls out a crumpled $1 bill and a paperclip.
Mm-hmm. And Max pats his tiny little pockets, which couldn't possibly hold anything.
Does Max have pants?
Yeah, he wears a tank top and basketball shorts.
Hell yeah.
Oh, cute.
Adorable. Well, I guess I'm paying. Great.
Thank you, Cesaro.
See,
yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
So you're going to, you know, take out that 1326 and exact change, I'm sure. Slap it on the table.
Sure.
Bam doesn't come back. It's weird. They were back there like more minutes than it takes to make 3 Corn Fanta floats. They haven't come back to collect your payment or give you ice cream.
Hello? Is there anybody back there?
There's totally one of the ding bells on the counter.
Oh, Max is jumping onto the counter and hitting that. Yeah.
Nothing.
Max is going to look up at his Pequoy compatriots and say, I think this doesn't feel right. Maybe. And he looks really excited for a second and goes, I think there may be trouble.
Well, too excited.
Let's not jump to conclusions, all right? Artie, how are your systems looking?
Systems are nominal. All right. Can you do a scan of the area behind that wall, see if you can find anything hinky?
What kind of scan are you doing?
He's got a battery of scans that he can do, so he's probably doing thermal scan, thermal imaging, and a couple of other things that will just kind of, maybe electromagnetic, you know, that kind of stuff.
I need to know which one for reasons. Is it thermal or is it electromagnetic?
It is thermal.
Great. I'm going to ask you to roll to unleash your powers, please.
Sure. That is a 7. I will make it unstable or temporary.
All right. So how do you see the results of his scan? Do you have like a thing or he just tells you?
So Ray's wears glasses. So he actually just taps the side of his glasses and a little heads up display pops up over his glasses.
Perfect.
Sort of Google Glass style. And
awesome. So you do get a like partial scan of the back, but it's really grainy and it feels like you're only getting half of the picture. There is a heat signature back there, but you can only sort of see from like the top half up. So it sort of could be a person, but it's like just like part of a person, but there is a heat signature back there.
Artie, I think we're going to have to do a full ground up rebuild of your scanners. These things are all sorts of hinky. I mean, it looks like there's a person back there. I'm assuming that's Bam.
And once you sort of finish going, I don't know, the doors fly open and a different person walks out. This is a younger boy. He's about 14, not old enough to be working here. He's got long blonde hair that's sort of pulled down over one of his eyes. And he is like fixing his navy shirt over himself and like running up to the register. He doesn't have a name tag, but he just like runs up to the register and he goes, I'm sorry. Hi guys. We just changed shifts, so I'm gonna help now. Can I take your order?
You changed shifts mid order?
I don't know how about it's just it's my first day.
Your coworker Bam already took our order and they were in the back making it.
Right. They had to leave. Mm-hmm. They had to leave. You know what? It's probably best if, you know, we just close because I don't really know what I'm doing.
Are they all right? Was there an accident or something?
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm just new. Are you piercing the mask?
Yeah, that's what I was going for, was piercing the mask. Okay.
So go ahead and roll to pierce the mask.
That's a 1. I rolled 4 minus 3. So
He sees you kind of like looking over his shoulder and like trying to figure out what's going on. And he's like, Bam's fine. They just wanted to leave. They've been here all day. I'm here now. And like, I am new, but you can tell me what you want and I'll try to make it for you. And he's like sassier now because he kind of got his feet under him. And he's like, you know what? I know what I'm doing, sir. And he's gonna clear out the cash register and be like, do you want ice cream?
Well, I mean, yeah, of course we want ice cream, but what's going on?
Nothing.
I'm less concerned with the ice cream and more concerned that Bam has struck a bargain with us and has since absconded. And I'm going to hop the counter and head into the back to find Bam.
Ooh,
promise.
So you go to jump over the counter and he's gonna like lean to stop you and it does not work. So tell us about your journey back to the kitchens.
So yeah, I think I jump over the counter and he like puts himself in my way. Promise can't only turn into animals. She can also just turn into the wind. So she just turns into the wind briefly and blows past him. And
then gone with
re-solidifies as she enters the back of the store.
And you get to the back of the store and you go through the double doors. And what you see is Bam frozen from the waist down stuck to the floor. And they're looking at you with bleeding eyes, but they can't speak because they have ice over their mouth. And they're going, and you turn around to see the young man that was at the counter, and he's confronted you, and he's like, bad move, fairy. And he just blows, and he's going to attempt to freeze you where you are.
Outstanding is emceed by Elsbeth Denman, who can be found on Twitter at Save the Turret. Promise is played by Alice Kira, who can be found on Twitter at Magical Girl Kira. Shield Mouse is played by Scott Paladin, who can be found on Twitter at Scott Paladin. Ray and Artie are played by Thomas Fleming, who can be found on Twitter at DarksideVO. Phoenix is played by Adam Collier, who can be found on Twitter at AnimeKnight97. Outstanding is a production of the Stop Hack and Roll Podcast Network. It is edited by James Malloy and produced by Elsbeth Denman and James Malloy. Our introduction and credits were voiced by Peter DiGilio. You can find me on Twitter at Voice of Peter. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Follow us on Twitter at OutstandingPod.